so many events are going to be outside of your control. That is what being human is. Honestly, being on the far side of incredible loss does allow me to sort of be like, well, the worst has already happened. So every other challenge feels like it kind of gets put in perspective.
Welcome to Hitting the Ceiling, the show for entrepreneurs and leaders who refuse to let a ceiling become the end of their story. In 1999, Lindsay and Tim moved to Montana and picked up a tiny kitchen-based soap operation to supplement his grad school income. Over the next 15 years, Tim turned that near miss into Montana's largest natural soap manufacturer. In March 2024, Tim was diagnosed with cancer. Shortly after, at the age of 49, he was gone. The company she had observed from the outside for a decade became hers. Lindsay now sits in the same seat that wore her husband down. Now she needs to lead it forward without repeating the pattern she watched from the outside for 25 years. Lindsay, welcome to Hitting the Ceiling.
Thank you, Mark. Thanks so much for having me, and thanks to your team for putting this together. Excited to be here.
So can you tell us a little bit about Botany? Because what I found interesting is that running 25 years, you have over 500 partners. You're white labeling. How does that work?
Sure.
Just so I'm clear.
Great. Absolutely. Botany is a contract manufacturer. Well, we have two divisions. So our the main part of our business is our contract manufacturing. We're sort of in the CPG space where we contract with brands to do shelf ready products. So we're working, custom formulas through production, through sending things out on pallets to their warehouses, 3PLs, Amazon, whatever, things that are ready for sale. And then the other part of our business is basically bulk, unbranded bulk. So folks can, use it at home if they want, but really that's mostly meant for small small businesses that are using it for gift or like gift stores.
So kind of thinking about hitting the ceiling, and you were out of the business for quite a few years. You step back into this company that you didn't have any intention to run. Is that right?
That's 100% right. Yes. I never had an intention to have Botany without Tim. While it was our family business and I was certainly on board, it was his baby. In the very early days when it was in our basement, I was the soap maker, and this was stock pots and 5-gallon buckets and some spatulas. Basically, I made soap and he figured out all the other aspects of the company. And then once we had kids, I stepped out entirely for a bunch of years. I did a couple other like small jobs and was never super interested in coming back into the company. And then once our kids got a little older, I came in as an account manager in about 2017, I think, is when I started back just very part-time with the company, and stayed part-time. When we started running EOS in 2019, I joined the leadership team maybe in that next year, but I was still a very part-time employee and handling life on the home front while Tim was, I think probably like a lot of entrepreneurs, was sort of like 150% FTE. So I sort of did 50% FTE, so that between the two of us, we were maybe like a full 2 FTE, but I didn't really think in FTEs then. That's a thing I have learned. but yes, I would say that, when I came back to work, it was just really putting a toe in and never expecting to take this on without him.
Right. And what size company were you in 2017 when you joined, and then 2019, 2020 when you joined the leadership team?
Yeah, we were probably in 2017. We were probably like 10 to 12, maybe. Mm-hmm. And then 2019, I think we were 19. Actually, I know because we, actually, no, we weren't quite. I'm sorry. We were probably like 15 or 16. And then in 2022, because we just looked back at our 3-year picture that we wrote, we were 19 when we wrote that.
And what was, so putting 150%, so probably 80 hours, which is probably 200%, right? If not more, it's probably a 24/7 effort to run the business. You come in to help, you begin implementing EOS. And tell me about the business at that time. What was the impetus to begin the process of implementing an operating system to try to get more of what you want from the business?
Oh, that's a great question. I wasn't at all involved in that decision, just because it was a thing that, you know, again, it was really Tim's business at that point. And I know he had worked with a couple other business coaches, and I think those had been good for that time and phase. But a friend who owns a business in Missoula here had introduced him to EOS and to Jerry. And Tim was always, look, he was a very systematized person. And so he was always looking for ways to improve systems. And I think that was probably what interested him about EOS. But I don't know, like, what was the moment that made him decide, like, this is the time. But I really do think that it was just incredibly the right time for our company, because I think he really saw that growth was coming, and to get ahead of it in a planned way was important to him. And so the company was finally growing beyond the point where he could actually hold all the pieces together, and needed to start, really being able to hand things off and have a leadership team that would, I don't think he had the language of a leadership team yet, that, you know, came later as we were implementing EOS, but that was, he saw that he needed to have more folks on board with growing this.
So you joined then the leadership team 2019, 2020, and I'm assuming the business kind of broke through and started growing. Fast forward to 2024. What size was the business at that point, and how were things going in terms of getting what you want from the business and breaking through?
Well, let me say, before when I joined the leadership team, our leadership team L10 meetings are Fridays. They're still Fridays, and I didn't work on Fridays, so I was sort of one toe on the leadership team, which was going to the quarterlies and helping with the planning. But leadership team, they were asking, you know, Tim and the rest of our crew. There's Jason, Jeremy, and Emily, and I can talk about all of them and who, you know, how we put our leadership team together. And then it was me and Tim, and, you know, asking me to be more involved. And I was like, well, I actually don't work on Fridays, so if you want me to come, you need to move L10s. And they loved Friday L10. So my one thing commitment in 2023 was to contribute more to the leadership team. And so that was what they asked of me. And that was my one thing commitment. And I basically did that by sending snacks to L10s, because I didn't.
Well, they're important.
They're important. I would say I'm upping my contribution to the leadership team. That's really how, like, you know, how much I was, I wouldn't say ambivalent about Botany. I cared about it, but I was like, I'm happy to help, but in a very part-time way. It's really, our family business, but like we got to divide and conquer here. And so like, you've got that, and I've got all this other stuff in our family life. So we were surely growing. And it's funny, in prep of this, I, you know, gone back and looked at like, what were we doing? What was our accountability chart like? What were our annual goals? What were our rocks at the, you know, through those years? And it's amazing to be able to see all of that, that, you know, just you kind of forget as you move forward what came before sometimes, and to go back and look and see how much has changed, but how much prediction really was part of this planning process and being able to predict well. And what's interesting, just 2 days ago, we have our quarterly with our all hands quarterly. And every year, you know, when we, after the annual, we read our 3 year picture. And last time at our quarterly, people were like, can we read the old 3 year picture that's like from now so that we can, you know, see what happened? And so we did that at this quarterly, and we had an employee that's been here for a while talk about what it was like in when we wrote that. What was going on? What were we producing? Who were our biggest clients? What processes and procedures did we have? Were we doing then? And then read the 3 year picture that we wrote at that time. And Mark, I got to tell you, it was incredible. Like every single thing was ticked off. Wow. And when we said, you know, in January of 2023 at the annual, at the end of 2025, we will sell, you know, to hit these, one of the measurables would be 1.4 million bars of soap. Well, we did 1.43 last year. And it's incredible to see that prediction that we were able to make and then to achieve because of the structure that EOS really prepared us for, so that even when we lost our founder in this, you know, absolutely unthinkable way and on such a short timeline, we didn't flinch. You know, we were just able to go, we know where we're going and we know who we are and we know how to get there. And we have the right people in the right seats to do it. Going through the 3 year picture that we had written 3 years ago and looking at it and seeing how everything was ticked off allows us to, when we look at the, you know, the 3 years out, to feel confident about our ability to get there. So we have some big goals. We didn't look at all like this as an organization 3 years ago, and we just did all these things and we made all these improvements and added a lot of staff and added a lot of customers and whatnot. Like we planned our way there and then we executed. And so I think feeling like, hey, we can do the same with this, you know, we've just done it and we can do it again. And we know how to do it because of the just continuing to run the cadences and the tools of EOS.
Obviously, then you are building that confidence, that resilience, the grit all along the way to just really understand, hey, we can do really hard things. And, you know, we want to talk about that 20 days. So when you have that 3 year picture, when you set it, the world looked different for you and for the company. You had to jump in and take over the business. So if you want to just tell that story.
Yeah, that story is like the worst case scenario in some ways, right? Like for Tim, he had was feeling a little tired, had a couple random symptoms, and then was diagnosed with an incredibly aggressive and advanced cancer. And we had no idea, you know, how quickly it was going to take his life. And at that point, we just said to right after the diagnosis to our VP of operations, who's now our CEO, hey, we're both stepping out while he's on medical leave, and we don't know when we'll be back. And amazing that, you know, again, this is right people, right seats, and the trust and vulnerability and honesty that comes from having worked on a leadership team for several years at that point and really grown that trust. So we could just say like, hey, can you take this? And he didn't blink and just took it. So that was those 20 days. And then for me, on the far side of those 20 days, you know, suddenly I was faced with what do I do with this company. A little ashamed to say, but Tim really was so wonderfully skilled at like admin and finances and things like that. And like, even in our family life, I mean, he invited me in and would like ask me to please participate. I'd be like, you've got it, you know, and I didn't even know how to pay our mortgage. I mean, just things like that, that were just basic to the kind of administrative parts of life and financial parts of life. So stepping into a company with, I think at that point we were about 25 employees, and taking it on and going, I can do this, I can learn this, was maybe the first big conversation that I had to have, was really with myself, of like, I can freeze or I can grow. And I guess it was like, okay, just, this is a chance to grow into something that you know, never really thought you'd want and, or had aptitude for. And, here you go. So, I guess it's saying yes rather than freezing. And also, you know, I really wanted to honor his legacy. That was so important to me. And I, you know, saw this thing that he had worked so hard to build, and it was flourishing or is flourishing. And, you know, we have this great team that people have decided to make their careers with us, which is amazing. When I was making soap in a pot in a 5-gallon bucket, I never thought we would be offering people jobs and livelihoods. And so it is, I didn't want to walk away from what he built and walk away from the team as well as our customers. You know, just, it's a little corner of the world, but it is a really beautiful little corner of the world that he built.
Most people, and I'm sure you asked the question, obviously wanting to maintain the legacy, you had a time where someone could step in, they ran the business as you stepped away for those 20 days. Most people would say, why don't you just keep running it, or maybe sell the business. What was your thought process about deciding it needed to be you to run it, as opposed to delegating it to the team that was already in place?
I own it and I'm president, but I do not run it entirely. So I have an amazing CEO. I was able to step up 5 people in the company. And so I am the visionary and owner and president, and then sit in a few other seats in our accountability chart. But I have an amazing, our integrator, who was already our integrator, he was our VP of operations, Jason Kiley. He stepped up into CEO. So we still are maintaining the visionary was Tim, and integrator was Jason. And I have replaced him as the visionary, but we've still maintained that, except now Jason is integrator and our CEO. So, and then the leadership team, same people that were there with me and Tim from the beginning of running EOS at our company. That's been our leadership team, and could not be more fortunate. Jerry was saying, reflecting with me, that we're like very unique puzzle pieces that somehow found their way together. And really everybody brings a very different skill set, but really a lot of team health. And I think we had that, but then also, you know, we all lost him. I mean, of course, as his spouse, but he was their coworker, and they had great relationships with him. And so we've also like gone through hard together, in some really important ways. So I am incredibly grateful for the skill that they bring, as well as their dedication, and they live our core values all the time.
Wow. And most teams obviously do not undergo that level of just total crisis ultimately and come out the other side functioning, healthy, the business continues to grow. And that alone is just totally a testament to the team and you and all the work that you've done. Now, as you look forward, you stepped into the visionary role. What are the things that you're thinking about now that you've got a new 3-year picture, you've got a new 1-year plan, and where does the business go from here?
We have a lot of different things that we're working on. One is we're launching a whole new product line right now. So that is exciting. One of the things we, you know, had been doing originally, we're bar soap, then bar and liquid soap. So that's, we're a true soap. So not detergents, but Castile, body wash, whatnot. And then right before Tim passed, we moved into the solid hair care market. So that's shampoo bars. Those aren't actually a soap, but they are within our same ICP would be wanting those, where you're working with companies that are values oriented, that, you know, care about ingredients, and then also care about, you know, reducing single use plastics and things like that. So solid hair care was a great fit for us. We launched shampoo bars back in 2023. And then this year we're adding conditioner bars. So that's a big, you know, that's a CapEx investment. That's new vendors. That's new staff. That's new materials. And just a lot of new there. So we're working on that. And then another thing that we are, that's new to us this year, is that we hired a fractional VP of growth. So Botany, its entire growth has been basically incoming. We have never had an outgoing sales effort other than pay-per-click and having a website that, you know, we were working on continually optimizing for SEO. And so we, for the first time, have been like, well, what would it actually be like if we went and tried to find customers instead of just waiting for them to come to us? And, you know, our entire sales process was really built around protecting Tim's time. He was in that sales seat. And as an entrepreneur that had wore still so many hats, when I look at the accountability chart from when he was, you know, the last accountability chart with him on it, he was in 6 different seats. And it's a lot, as happens for so, yeah, it's a lot of seats. And he had, you know, we mark where there's a GW or C, a get it, want it, or have capacity to do it issue. And he had W's and C's on several of his seats. He didn't want it anymore and he didn't have the capacity for it, but we weren't at the place yet to hand it off or to hire somebody for those. So really in our sales, our whole sales infrastructure was sort of built towards really like making people work to get on a phone call with him a little. I mean, not really making, but like vetting, throwing the ball back to them to make sure that they were really interested. We, yeah, have so much that we could like kind of probably lost or whatnot from not having that really like proactive. It was more reactive than proactive response. So we're at a place now where we are staffed up and we've brought on this fractional VP of growth, Ryan Miller, who has been great for us. And that was one of the easiest decisions that I have gotten to make in this seat. A lot of decisions have been hard. That one felt really easy.
Now, do you find that because you were not in the business for so many years, as you said, it was really Tim's business, that you have an easier time delegating as opposed to holding on to the vine because you've done this before, just give me the ball,
yes,
kind of thing. Yeah. I could do it myself.
Yeah.
Do you find it easier? Do you then find that it has a little bit of an advantage for you running and growing the business?
Well, whether it's an advantage or not is maybe TBD, but for sure it's easier for me to delegate And it's because I'm not letting go of the vine. I'm just not picking up the vine on a lot of things where it's like we have a lot more revenue than we had when, you know, we were building. And actually, when he died, he was reading a book called 10X is Easier Than 2X. And that, yeah, like so many small business owners, especially when you are bootstrapping it, you know, we are family owned business and he wasn't looking for outside money. It's all on you. I mean, so he learned how to code websites. He learned chemistry. He learned fabrication. I mean, he learned all the HR stuff, SEO. He was doing it, you know, when we were a one person business, two person, five, 10. So coming in now, I know I'm not going to learn all those things. Like I can pick up a sort of a working knowledge of them, but I am not trying to learn all of it, to be the one like that holds on to that vine. I feel really grateful that I have such a great team and that they are all like, we have our accountability chart. We know who is accountable for which things, and we know that we have the right people in those seats. And so I really trust my team and am super, I mean, so grateful to work with them every day. But yeah, I did ask Jerry preparing for this, okay, what have you seen about this transition? And he did say that he was like, well, you seem to have an innate ability to kind of let things run and then know when to insert yourself. Some of that's just survival. I mean, grief is hard. Being a single mom is a lot. And also I feel like botany, I love it and I'm so grateful for it. And I can only give it what I can give it, which is not going to be the 150% that Tim gave it all those years. And so, yeah, I have leveled up in things that I do and I have delegated a lot, but I have also just been like, these folks on my team, they know that. And how awesome that they've got it.
How did you get yourself up to speed so fast? It's obviously a unique situation because most entrepreneurs, they do go through that initial crucible of starting and running the company. However, I would say that the overall financial acumen of our typical entrepreneur of a 10 to 250 person company is honestly quite low as a group, because they kind of have the technical skill. They know how to mix the soap in the bucket, but they don't really know, and they kind of just figure it out along the way. Mm-hmm. So how did you get yourself up to speed so fast?
One thing that was, I would say, almost providential was that in September, so Tim died in March of 2024, and in September of 2023, he hired a woman to build a bunch of financial reporting, like expense management and some budget and forecasting tools and things, and labor management allocation or like prediction tools based on our demand. And the reason that he did that with her was because he was wanting to give our leadership team more visibility into a lot of the financial health of the company and empower them to make decisions for their own departments. And so he had really worked with her over a series of months and kind of like downloaded his brain around just even like what percentage of are we aiming for like COGS labor, or what percentage are we looking for, you know, COGS materials and whatnot. Just a lot of things that, as a team, looking back, we are so grateful that those things were in place, because we really wouldn't have known what was in his brain and what kind of metrics he was paying attention to besides just, you know, top line revenue to make decisions for the company. And then we continued working with her, and she really upskilled us, my whole leadership team, on some of aspects of budgeting and forecasting and expense management. So that was a big part of it. I think by nature, I'm just a networker more, and I will call people and just be like, I don't know what I'm doing here. Can you help me or point me to a resource? I don't have any problem doing that. And so I really like to build my network. That's actually a really fun part of being in this seat for me, is like, meet other business owners. I meet people that have a skill set that I just don't have and don't really intend to have. So I want to learn some, but I'm like, I would love to work with somebody who already has this skill set. So for example, you know, hiring a fractional VP of growth, I was like, I'm not going to learn all these marketing things. I want to learn from him, but I just want to like start at a higher level of someone who's been doing this. We just hired a fractional CFO to really help us take that, my CEO, take our just financial decision-making to another level. So yeah, I guess asking for help, that's been another big lesson of this time, is just like asking for what I need. That can be a real growth edge to like, sure. Yeah, say what you need. And, in fact, that's my one thing commitment this year is to my team, is to, ask for what I need. And so every week we check in, say, you know, have you done same, better or worse on that? And, yeah. And so I, you know, I'm getting like on a weekly pulse with, have I been able to ask for what I need? So some of that comes naturally to me, the collaborative part, but the asking for, there's certain things where, you know, it feels vulnerable to ask for what you need sometimes too.
Oh, totally. Totally. People don't want to display any weakness if possible.
Yes. What I feel like is I want someone who knows that skill set well to build it for me. And then we can train, you know, hopefully train someone up behind that person.
I don't think anyone should ever underestimate the absolute power of the right people mm-hmm. in the right mm-hmm. seats. Now, thinking about where you are with the business now, and when we talk about hitting the ceiling, you know, that sense of being stuck and frustrated, you're not getting what you want, the things that you used to do aren't working the way they did. And then to the degree that we can strengthen those five leadership abilities, the ability to simplify, to delegate, to predict, systemize, and to structure, how are you thinking about your business now? Where do you need to simplify? Where do you need to delegate even more? Is there another fractional seat out there? And you talked a lot about systems and Tim kind of being this systems thinker. Where do you stand right now?
I think there is a lot of, you know, on each of those five things, there's always room to grow. But I would say the ones that I'm thinking about right now are, Here's just a small example, but delegate. We have never really had much of a social media presence. Actually, as a B2B, we can't, you know, almost all of our clients are NDA'd with us. So it's hard to like show finished product and whatnot. But we also just haven't put any effort or creativity towards it. Just the other day, we have a new social media consultant who's very, you know, just a few hours a week, and you know, she's got a full-time job, so she's not even like really able to be here to take video and whatnot. And I'm like, I don't work on the floor. I don't know what videos would be good to have. And I also need buy-in from my team if we're going to do this at all. You know, it's such a small thing, but it's like, let's just put together a social media team. Like, who wants to do this? Who of our team has interest? Yeah. So it's like, I don't need to be the bottleneck for things like that. Like, if people in my team are excited about something and want to take it forward, I don't need to control that. And so it feels great to be able to like hand it off to people who are excited, have creativity, and are closer to the actual things that we would want to be telling stories about than I am. So that's a small example of of delegate. Often we don't predict our rocks perfectly, and some things come up. We'll have a staff change. Someone will move on to their next best thing. And all that time you thought you were going to be working on moving your rock forward, you are instead maybe like rethinking that position and taking on hiring all of a sudden for it or something like that. So of course, things come up, but I think we've just gotten better and better at seeing, you know, where we are going and predicting where we're going and figuring out if not only how we're going to get there, but if we need to bring in resources or bring the team along sooner, then we do that. So for instance, the conditioner bar rollout that we're doing, like we really learn from our shampoo bar build and rollout to like bring our whole crew along with that process a lot earlier. I don't know if that's a predict thing, but like, because we've been through that, like we predicted, you know, we know we're going there, and then realizing the things that you need to put into place to get yourself there and bring everybody along without stressing everybody out with change. One of our core values is embrace it. And so we do always try to be open to that growth mindset, but you don't want to be like, just embrace the change. You know, we do want to like have people on board with it and see it coming and feel heard in how we get there.
And clearly you've demonstrated the ability to predict solving issues on the short term, then predicting that long term out, obviously with that 3-year picture, accomplishing it in the way that you did and setting the new one, is just a really good example of the ability to predict for sure. Well, Lindsay, it's been really good hearing your story. I appreciate you sharing the story with the audience. Before we wrap up, what is the one piece of advice that you would give other entrepreneurial organizations like yours hitting the ceiling, running into chaos, running into being stuck and being frustrated, or events that are completely outside of their control?
Number one, events, so many events are going to be outside of your control. That is what being human is. And so knowing that that is just part of what it means for us to be here and be alive. So I try to hold things lightly, and honestly, being on the far side of incredible loss does allow me to sort of be like, well, the worst has already happened. So every other challenge feels like it kind of gets put in perspective in that way. Lean into growing and learning. None of us know all the answers. So it's okay to ask and to figure it out. And if you're not running EOS, I don't want to be like on an EOS podcast, just being like so evangelical about it. but I really do credit it with me being able to keep my company. Like, I can't imagine that I would have been able to keep this company if we hadn't been several years into running EOS, because we, like, as I said earlier, it's like we knew who we were and we knew where we were going and we knew how to get there. And I do, like, to prep for this, I pulled out, you know, of course, like 6 weeks before Tim died, we had our 2-day annual. And so I pulled out his binder from that. And the check-in, you know, at the end, where is your head? He said, where's your head? Tired, came in tired. Probably something there we didn't see coming. But I like and trust the process. It's not just me. I think for somebody who had really had to depend on himself for so long, being several years into EOS really allowed him to let up and know that it really, like, the process worked and that he didn't have to hold it all anymore. And so I do, you know, it's super impactful to be able to rely on something that has been transformational, and I know will, like, be the structure that holds us as we continue to grow and, you know, keep tending our little corner of the world over here.
Yeah, for sure. Good luck to you and the team.
Thank you.
You'll do just fine.
Thanks, Mark. Such a pleasure to meet you.
And I'm sure you'll keep on growing.
I know we will, actually. I know we will.
Yes.
That's what
no doubt.
Hey,
no
thank
doubt.
You so much. Thanks for having me. It's a real pleasure.
All right. Now going into hitting the ceiling and mastering the five leadership abilities. For Lindsay, first of all, she hit the biggest ceiling you can possibly hit with her husband's passing. And what just an incredible story of resilience and grit to just come back from all of that. Not many people would. Many people would just sell the business and be done with it. But she jumped in and got the business turned around and continued to grow, which is just a testament to her leadership and, of course, that grit and resilience. So going into number one, which is simplify, Lindsay's biggest simplifying move was really first to recognize that she doesn't need to become Tim in order to lead Botany forward. Instead of trying to master every function of the business, she is really just narrowing her role to owner, president, and visionary, while letting other leaders own their seats and bringing in the experts when they're needed. The business also simplified its direction through EOS, knowing who they are, where they're going, and how they're going to get there. The example of that is how Botany stayed grounded after Tim's death because the company already had those clear goals. They had the core values, the accountability, and that three-year picture that they've continued to execute upon. Now, a lot of that leads right into the leadership ability to delegate, because this is really the strongest theme in the overall episode. Lindsay says that it is easier for her to delegate because she's not holding on to the vines, easy to let go of that because of the position that she came in. So much as refusing to pick up the vine in the first place for a lot of the things. Now, she's a quick learner. She got right back on it, educating herself how to allocate capital and read P&Ls and all those different types of things that were not necessarily new to her, but she had to do it at a whole other level. And so Jason stepped into that CEO integrator role while Lindsay stepped into that visionary role, really preserving the existing visionary and integrator structure with different people. She elevated several people within the company after Tim's death rather than trying to carry that business herself. And she brings in that outside expertise, as I talked about, that fractional VP of growth, a fractional CFO, rather than trying to learn those specialized skills herself. So this is really just a great testament to when you don't really have the skill and ability and you don't try to be all things to all people, it makes it a lot easier to delegate even under those extreme conditions that she was doing that. So just these small examples that she gave, like forming that internal social media team, really just show her instinct to let people closer to the work lead when they have the energy and the creativity for it. So the next leadership ability, the ability to predict. You know, there's a lot of unpredictable that occurred here. And Botany's three-year picture is really just that clearest example of long-term prediction. Lindsay describes looking back and really realizing that they hit nearly every major target that they had set, including their production goal of bars of soap. And EOS really helped the company move from reactive survival to planned growth, especially as the business became too complex for even Tim to hold all the pieces together himself. Lindsay also connects prediction to learning from past rollouts. The conditioner bars, they're applying lessons from the shampoo bar rollout to bring the team along earlier and to reduce the stress around any change. And of course, the company still misses predictions at times, especially around rocks and unexpected staffing changes and all the things that are just part of running a company. I mean, these things happen. Not everything is totally 100% predictable. If it was, everyone would do it. But Lindsay sees these areas of improvement in their ability to anticipate needs, bring resources to the table sooner so they can ultimately get what they want from their business. Next is the ability to systemize. Systemization was really part of Tim's leadership DNA clearly. Lindsay describes him as highly systematic, naturally drawn to EOS because it provided that structure for how the business needed to grow. Biggest example of systemization is the financial reporting that the work that Tim did started before his death. He hired someone to build tools around expense management, budgeting and forecasting and labor allocation, and ultimately financial visibility that became really, really important later. Those systems were absolutely crucial after his passing because they helped transfer what had been in Tim's head into tools the leadership team could actually use. EOS itself functioned as a system that allowed Tim to keep operating through crisis, level 10s and rocks and accountability chart, core values, annual planning, the quarterly pulsing and rhythm. And that three-year picture inside the VTO became absolutely critical to the team's success. And finally, structure. Structure really was the backbone of the whole story. Lindsay repeatedly credits EOS with giving Botany the structure to survive and the sudden loss of its founder. The accountability chart clarified who owned what, where Tim was overextended, and which seats needed some attention. That visionary integrator structure allows Lindsay and Jason to divide leadership in a way that fits their strengths. And that leadership team, the whole structure of the leadership team also mattered emotionally and operationally because they already had trust. They had vulnerability with one another. They had that shared common language. Jason and the team could really just take over immediately when Lindsay and Tim had to step away. And Lindsay's core takeaway is that structure gave the business something to stand on when life became really unpredictable. And so without EOS, she says she could not imagine being able to keep the company. And so just really kudos to Lindsay, to the team at Botany, just a really great testament to focused leaders breaking through the ceiling. If this conversation gave you something to think about, I'd love to keep that going. I write a newsletter called Clarity Break Thoughts, where I share simple ideas, questions, and reminders to help you step back, think clearly, and lead with more intention. You can subscribe at eosworldwide.com/claritybreakthoughts. Again, that's eosworldwide.com/claritybreakthoughts.